Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Jake Kassar, our local bloke. He's living off the land for 10 days to raise money for the less fortunate on the Central Coast. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Jakey.
Hey, Jake.
Good morning, fellas. How you going?
Not too bad. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. We've been eating quite well, actually. There's been a couple of other challenges involved, but food hasn't been one of them at this stage.
Now, it's the wild food challenge. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. This will be about the 20th I've done over about 20 years. Yeah.
Okay, now...
The key is location, I'd imagine. Whereabouts are you?
We're up at Mangrove Mountain, up on Ironbark Creek.
All right, not on a cattle farm?
Yeah, no. We're not far from one, but that would be probably considered cheating.
Right, okay.
Now, so the challenge, you live off the land for 10 days. What day number are you up to now?
Today's day 7, and we've just made the decision to extend it for another 7 days, so we're going to 2 weeks.
Oh, geez. Okay, right. Okay. So talk me through how you get your meals for a day, like just an average day.
Okay, well, first and foremost, I'm a bushcraft teacher and survival teacher, and I specialise in edible and medicinal plants. So everywhere I go, I'm finding all kinds of different things. Like in the right season, you'll have things like blackberry, and we've actually found them out of season at the moment. There's a bit of blackberry fruit out here, so we'll get up in the morning and go foraging. There's a whole range of different introduced plants that you can use as food. There's things like plantain, of course dandelion, which is high in vitamin A, C, K, E. It's got a bit of magnesium, a bit of iron in it as well. So we're trying to make sure we're getting our A to K of vitamins and minerals by what we're foraging in the morning, and also focusing on macronutrients. So protein, fat, which is a little bit hard to come by with plants. So we've had to do a bit of fishing and hunting and even a bit of scavenging from the side of the road. We got a roadkill wallaby the other day.
Oh.
And fresh, super fresh.
How do you know?
Well, in this case, it was still warm, and on a cool night, that's pretty pretty handy if you can get there and it's still warm and it still had a bit of film over its nose. It still had a wet nose, so we checked that the eyes were clear, and it was good to go. So wallaby jerky seems to be what we're going to be having for lunch today.
Right, and so you cooked it up?
Yeah, we cooked it up. Usually boil wild meat as well is a good idea first, and then we slice it really, really finely. And I've got a bush smoker. I've weaved half a basket, and we've got like a tripod, and we set it above the fire here. People can follow it on my socials. We put all this stuff up on Jake's Bushcraft and on my socials, and just dry it out over time. And it's such a simple technique as far as survival goes, but it's something that everybody should know how to do. It's no bells, no whistles. You dry your meat out, and instead of it going rank in a couple of hours in certain weather, it can last for a couple of months.
So the number one rule of the wild food challenge, which you're doing, is that you can only eat food that you've caught or foraged during the duration of the challenge.
That's exactly right, and it's very similar to a survival mission in that fact. The only difference here is we can actually change locations 4 or 5 times using a vehicle. So today we're going to go down to Gosford and catch up with the people for Care for Coast, and we plan on looking at a whole heap of different introduced plants that we can forage and use as food and as medicine. You might hear it in my voice. I've got a little bit of the man flu going on at the moment. I'm coming out the other side of it, but I've had a bit of a challenge within a challenge because I've needed to treat this this flu while I've been out here as well.
You want to be careful if you're in the off-leash area at Gosford today, just out there to everyone, in case you guys are really hungry.
So you're doing a Care for Coast. How many are doing it with you, Jakey?
So I've got 2 mates doing it, my friend Kalia and my friend Seamus, and they're doing remarkably well. Kalia hasn't been hunting and stuff like that, but she's been keeping camp really well, making us all kinds of tea. She's quite the bush medicine woman in her own right. And Seamus is my young mate in his late 20s, and he's got quite the appetite. So he's been driving us a lot when I felt like just chilling out and living off our wallaby jerky and some of our wild plants that we've got, some of our wild fruit. He's like, oh, what are we getting to eat? And I say, we should have plenty of tucker left. And it's like, no, we don't.
Right.
I just
hate
it. Because
he's eaten it all.
We've had to push it pretty hard, but we've already raised over $2,000. We're just trying to get to $5,000.
Okay.
And as we come into the colder season, it's just really important that we give support to these kind of organisations.
Yeah, Care for Coast. Mate, now, as you said, people can donate by going to your Facebook page, Jake?
Yeah, Facebook, Insta, TikTok. If you just jump on Jake Cassar Bushcraft on any of those, they can donate to our cause. And also, we've got videos from day one. I've put up 5 or 6 videos a day taking people through everything that we've eaten. So it's been over 30 plant species, including 3 different species of fungi, about 5 animal species. We got 8 mud crabs last night.
Oh, you got Palmer. You got Palmer. Yeah. Mate, you could, Rob reckons you could go on Naked and Afraid on National Geographic.
Well, I could ask this because I reckon it's going to be the first time in my life that I've ever had a 6-pack. No matter how much I eat, out here, I always get really, really lean. So I reckon I'll get down to my optimum weight by the end of this challenge.
And another 7 days to go doing it for Care for Coast. Mate, we will speak to you. Now you're doing it for another 7 days later on this week, okay? See how it's faring.
No worries. Sounds great. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, good on you, Jake. Jess, doing it for Care for Coast, helping raise money for those less fortunate. I
wanted to do that when I was a kid. My mates and I would talk about, let's go bush. There's no way.
Just one day.
Not now.
One day.
As long as I was next to an apple farm or something. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Now, we had dinner with the family very recently, sat down around the table, and my daughter, who's 15, Branny, got out the yo mama jokes and we started having a go at each other around the dinner table, and there was raucous laughter from start to finish. I've never had such a fun dinner in my life. Yo mama.
So did Brenny get to a phone and look up the yo mama jokes?
She did. She looked up. Well, I didn't know this at first. I just thought she'd had a
top of
whip
the head.
Whip of a memory.
Yeah.
Yo mama's so ugly, her birth certificate is an apology letter. And stuff like that. And then so I started, I was laughing at the start, and then I started doing a couple because I looked up a couple myself.
Oh, did you?
And I had to be very careful about how I looked at my wife, Gwen, when I was saying things like, "Yo mama's so ugly, she walked into a haunted house and walked out with a job application."
Wish I was there at that dinner. Jeez, I tell you what, I really wish I was there.
But if you want a way to get your family rolling, that is how it's done.
Yeah.
I've been doing them for you, Paddy, but I don't say your mama because I just like doing them with you.
Chloe sent one. Your mama's so fat, not even Dora can explore her. See, that's funny, Chloe. That's funny.
Oh, you are jokest against me. Your mama's so stupid. When I said drinks on the house, she went and got a ladder.
Well, can we leave it just to remember the Titans? Remember the Titans? Remember this and remember the Titans in the locker room scene? I love that movie. Hang on. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. There's a sign in Wyong, Daniel from Canwell, and it's about another state. Daniel from Canwell joins us this morning. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, not too bad. Now, where is this sign, first of all?
Okay, it's at Wyong.
Yeah.
It's on River Road.
Right.
So when you go across the bridge that goes over the Wyong River, as you actually come into Wyong, it's like it's an information sign. So it's one of those ones where you come in and people who are actually visiting the area, they want to know, you know, where they are and what's around, sort of thing.
Civic guides, I think the sign is, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a city guide, sort of thing. So, and it's not Wyong.
What does it say?
Bairnsdale, which is East Gippsland in Victoria.
So it says a guide to Bairnsdale.
Right. Yep, exactly. I've got a friend who lives down there, so I've visited often, and I just happened to notice in my peripheral vision the word Bairnsdale, and I went, that can't be right. You know, so I stopped and had a look and went, wow, it is Bairnsdale. are we the sister city to Bairnsdale now?
And are we?
Yeah, I'm not too sure.
Yeah. It used to say Wyong.
It was. If you looked on Google Maps, it says Wyong, the sign, but not today.
Okay, so have you rung anyone about this?
I think I've been to Bairnsdale.
No, I haven't. Yeah, I've just been curious as to why it's there. It's been there for a while because all the edges are all weathered. So it's not like it's new. It's been there for a while. I'm just wondering, no one's really picked this up yet. Yeah, the error. So
All right. Can anyone tell us why the sign in Wyong on that civic guide says a guide to Bairnsdale? And as you said, it's been there for a while. How many people use these signs?
If you actually look, if you look at it very closely, where it sits and says you are here.
Yeah.
If I'm standing next to the sign, it tells me I'm actually on Bairnsdale Railway Station.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And I'm looking around, going, no, I'm not,
mate. It's some sort of TARDIS.
Yeah, it's May the 1st, not April the 1st.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Daniel, thank you for alerting us to that. We will try and check it out and see if we can get to the bottom of it, Robert. And if anyone knows, give us a call.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Look, I was reading, I love Ask Dr. Zach. It's a weekly column from news.com.au. And the question to Dr. Zach was, hi, Dr. Zach. I don't know how to say this because it's very embarrassing to admit. So I just came out and say it. My son loves to eat dog biscuits. Oh. It started out with me finding his head in our dog's bowl before dinner. This is just made up. And it's ended up with him no longer wanting to eat his normal human food at dinner because he's filled up on dog biscuits. They just make this stuff up, don't they? I've looked up. He doesn't have fleas or ticks, the kid, either.
If you know what? You're a product of your environment. If you eat dog biscuits once or twice,
you're going to become a dog.
Who's to say?
I am.
You won't become a dog.
But anyway,
it's like tastes grow on you.
And Anonymous from Darwin said, I've looked it up on the internet and apparently it's not dangerous to eat them, but can you confirm whether it's dangerous to eat dog biscuits? I'm hoping he'll grow out of it as he grows older. And I love my son Fido.
I couldn't stand oysters the first couple of times I ate them. I could eat a dozen like that.
Yeah.
So if your first dog biscuit would be hard to get down, I imagine. But
Dr. Zach said many patients have mentioned their child getting stuck into dog biscuits over the years. They've all grown out of it, so that's good news.
My wife, Gwen, has got bag of treats in the cupboard that I near mistook for a human treat because there was no identifying.
My sister cooked this pet mince and her husband came home drunk. And this is when they weren't going through a good period. And she didn't tell him.
did she do it on purpose?
That is
brutal.
She let him eat the mince and was on the other
end. Would she normally cook the mince for the dog?
Yeah, no. Yeah. We'd cook the mince for our dog.
Do you really?
Yeah, we don't give it raw.
Oh, mate.
Oh, no, you don't get.
Our dog just gets biscuits.
Don't you cook the dog food?
No, they're dried biscuits.
That's what
dogs eat.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not your dog. Do you give it chicken sometimes?
Mate, you give our dog human food and it's crapping all, like it's through the eye of a needle.
Not our dogs. And anyway, so don't get alarmed if your child is eating dog food because, look, it's not the most healthy thing for them.
Yeah.
But dog biscuits, like many pet foods, have become more and more complex and targeted towards specific animals. You know, it's high in salt and protein. Sometimes that can't be really easily digestible. But
you're not selling it.
If your kid is into the dog, whose kid, honestly? Whose kid, just quickly?
1-3-3-5-3. How good are dog biscuits?
Have you eaten them? Let us know. And does your kid eat dog food? Would love to know. Jeez, we sound like Jerry Springer now, don't we? We got Tracy from your minor.
Hello, Tracy.
Hi, how are you, boy?
Yeah, good. What are you calling about?
Now, the person that rang up about the kids eating the dog biscuits, my grandchildren would come in the front door and go out the back door every morning and get, one would have a green biscuit and one would have a red one.
What a dog biscuit?
Dog biscuit, yes. Every morning. So not only did I have to keep the dog biscuits up to the dog, I had to keep them up to the grandkids.
I have to put them on the top shelf so they didn't all disappear.
No, every morning.
Well, listen, how old are the grandkids now?
Riley's turning 17 and Sinead's turning 15.
All right.
And they got wet noses?
They got worms. And they wear a flea collar.
They wag their backside when they're happy.
Well, how about we give them something different? We'll send them to Fidel's East Gosford, your local Italian. $100 to spend there. They might.
Don't ask them for dog biscuits there.
Okay. They change their eating habits, okay?
Oh, Oh, thank you.
All right, good on you, Trace. We've got Brett from Mellering Park. G'day, Brady.
Hey, Brett.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
Yeah, good. What are you calling about?
Mate, I'm on the bloody thing about dog food too. We had a neighbour up the road, and we used to take her shopping with us all the time, and she was putting all these dog biscuits and cans of food in the trolley. I said, why are you doing it? I said, you haven't even got a bloody dog. She goes, my husband eats it all the time. I said, that'll bloody kill him. She goes, no, he loves it, he loves it. Seen her about 2 months later in Coles, you know, and I said, and she wasn't buying any dog food.
Was he in the pound?
Yeah, what's this about? What's happened with her? And she goes, oh, my husband passed away.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
I said, that's bloody sad. I said, it must have had something to do with that dog food. I told you that'd bloody kill him. And she said, no, he was sitting in the gutter licking his ass and the bus ran over him.
Penny and Rob Palmer, the podcast. You know, my wife, Gwen, loves seeing me cry.
Yeah.
Not when I'm, like, going through bank statements, but yeah. When I'm watching TV, she reckons it's like, you know, I'm in touch with my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one bit of crying on TV that was not done by me. It's Lego Masters.
I couldn't believe the promo.
Oh, my God.
And there it was last night.
If you needed
on Lego Masters
to cheer up
today,
you just had to watch. Caleb and Alex, your storytelling today solidified what was happening, and that saved you. I'm really sorry, David, because you guys are amazing Lego builders. You really are.
Oh my God.
Can we get Brickman on? Can we? Not today, please. But sometime this week. Just to cheer us up. And we'll see if we can make him cry.
Oh, when the world gets you down.
Oh, come on, not over Lego. Look, there are many reasons you can get upset, but not over Lego.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
This is the news that doesn't make the news. It should be in the news instead of the other news.
Morning, Robert.
Morning, Patrick.
Can we play the Brickman thing again?
Go on. It's only if you've got Guns N' Roses, Don't Cry.
I don't.
as a backup tune.
I don't have the.
Okay.
So we're not allowed to play it.
Well, we'll play it. Right. Let's play it after
8:30. We'll play it. All right. Okay.
Because I just want to hear it again and laugh.
Did you watch the show last night? I didn't watch the show.
Lego Masters.
Did you?
Yeah. What I do is I skip between I'm Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here and Lego Masters.
What's that up to? I'm a Celebrity, Get Me. How many left?
It's finished. Last night was the final.
Was that the end?
Yeah, Liz Ellis crossed the line.
Oh, did she? What'd she win? Don't know. You're watching Lego Masters.
She won $100,000 for a charity.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all finished.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I was just asking for a friend. Now, two other news. Oh, good morning, Robert.
Plenty left out of Lego Masters, though.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was coming to a close.
No,
as well.
No. There must be. It's Grand Masters. It could go forever.
All right. Okay. Now I know. What do you got for us?
Water
may
be more widespread and recent on Mars than previously thought.
Oh, truly.
There's a picture I'll just show you. Picture. Okay. See down there?
Oh,
that looks like ice.
Yeah, that looks like water.
That looks like it's ice, not water, because it's a bit cold down there. Yeah. The new finding highlights...
I thought Mars was up there.
Mars is out there.
Yeah, well, you said down there.
Yeah, down there on the bottom of Mars.
Oh, I get you.
Yeah. There's potentially fertile areas in warmer regions of Mars.
Oh, so they're growing palm trees.
Where conditions may be suitable for life to exist.
Yeah.
Though more studies needed. The news comes after mission leaders acknowledged that Zhurong, the rover, has yet to wake up since going into hibernation for a Martian winter a year ago. Winters last a year.
Right. What?
Yeah.
Winter lasts a year. I'm not going to blow. I'm cold now.
Yeah, but how long degrees. Summer then? How long summer? See, look on the bright side.
What do they have? What seasons do they have in Mars? I'm just asking
winter,
for a friend again.
Summer, and then a little bit of autumn and a little bit of spring.
But if it lasts a year.
They really can't be a spring because nothing grows there.
Okay.
But there were salt-rich dunes with cracks and crusts.
Mm-hmm.
And so it probably had water in the Northern Hemisphere about 1.4 million to 400,000 years ago.
Wow.
We'll be there.
Yeah, of course we will.
We are going, buddy.
And if you're going somewhere, it's Indonesia, be very careful, especially to Arshay, the Bodhi, he's 23. You may have seen this on the news. He went on this surfing holiday and he had one shot of vodka prior to this incident just before midnight on Wednesday. And his carpenter from Noosa claimed he was sunstroke from the day before. Now, what happened? He said he felt possessed and just wasn't himself.
One shot of vodka.
Vodka, I know. One shot. Yeah.
Is he sure it was vodka he was drinking?
Don't know. But see, over there, you're not allowed to drink alcohol. And there are a few incidents where there was a little alleged rampage after one shot of vodka. And he was nabbed and then bashed by local villagers. I saw the footage of this. And he was alleged to try to snatch a motorbike while naked. He was still nude as well.
What?
But what he's doing now, and this is where you've got to be really careful, because the sale and consumption of alcohol is banned in Arshay, and now he faces the could face up to 40 lashes and imprisoned for the offence for alcohol.
For a nip of vodka.
And jumping
nude on a motorbike.
Yep, which is normal in, Bali. So
that may have happened
a few times with other people, Robert. So you've got to, if you are travelling, check the laws of the country, Robert. Like, say, if you're going to Mars.
Too right.
Check that if it's winter or summer.
Can't go on a footy trip.
No.
Certain places.
No, you've got to be really, really careful. So, yeah, but he faces up to 40 lashes, and they set up to 5 years in prison. That is, not good, is it? Not good at all.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Alex Morris, spokesman for the Australian Electoral Commission.
An absolute legend. He joins us this morning. G'day, Alex.
Alex.
G'day, gents. How are we doing?
Yeah, not too bad. You going okay?
Yeah, not too bad for Monday morning.
Yeah, 1st of May, going too quick.
I know, it's all happening very quickly. It's turning into a very quick year for us.
Mate, it's flying by. And that's why we've got you on, because we've got the voice referendum coming up and it's where we have to vote. Mate, what date is that on?
I'll find out as soon as, at the same time you guys do. So we never find out at the AEC, same with the referendum, same with the election. So we'll be watching the news and the PM will tell us at the same time he tells you.
Is it sometime between October and November? Is that what they're saying?
If I'm reading the tea leaves, that looks about right. But the third quarter, fourth quarter of the year, I'd say.
How important is timing with something like this?
It's always important because it's a massive logistical exercise for the AEC. So we've got, coming up on 100,000 Australians that we'll be recruiting to help us run the thing. And those are people from all across the community. So your uncles, your aunties, your dad. And of course, we'll be trying to open up over 88,000 polling places around the country, I should say.
Now, we have to vote. It's a referendum question. It goes, a proposed law to alter the Constitution to recognise the First Peoples of Australia by establishing an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice. Do you approve this proposed alteration? Yes or no? Now, do we go in and tick, or what is it?
No, that's a pretty common misconception. But for the referendum, you do actually have to write yes or no on the ballot paper,
right?
In very clear writing, so that your say can be had and your vote can be properly counted.
And it can, but just be yes or no, and that's it.
That's all you do.
Yeah, it's really important to keep it simple as well. We often see people liking to write things on ballot papers. Please don't do that, because, like I say, the people in your community need to be able to count your vote, and there can't be any ambiguity on that one.
For someone who doesn't quite understand the question, is there somewhere they can go, or where would be the best place to make sure that you're very clear on what the question involves?
So when we're talking about the question, the AEC has one role when it comes to public education, and that is we have been tapped on the shoulder. We're going to be sending out a pamphlet with an argument for the yes and an argument for the no case. So that's the parliamentarians who support the question and the parliamentarians who oppose it will each get to write an argument why and why not. Mm-hmm. And we will send that out to 12 million households all around Australia. That's basically every enrolled household around the country. Beyond that, though, we actually don't have a role in the question. Just like at an election, we don't really have a role in choosing the candidates or promoting what they have to say.
Yeah.
There are yes and no campaigns who I'm sure will be getting increasingly vocal as the year continues.
Yeah, of course. But will that be sent digitally as well? Do people get these things in their inbox, or do you just have to look out in the post?
It's a little early. My understanding right now is that it's definitely postal. Watch this space for more information about the pamphlet. We also have a lot of information about referendums themselves. So it's important to remember that we haven't had a referendum in Australia for 24 years. So there's 6.4 million voters who have never voted in a referendum before. So we understand it's been a while. And we have a referendum information hub on the AEC's website. So that won't tell you about this specific question, but it will help you sort of fill in the gaps about referendums. And you can visit that at aec.gov.au.
Alex, what will be the cost for this referendum, which we might have in October, November this year, when it's called?
Look, a referendum, just like an election, isn't particularly cheap. They can come up around the $400 million mark. And that covers a lot of things, so that it covers the work that we're doing now in terms of public education. It covers rolling out those 8,000 polling places, a couple of hundred early voting centres as well. It covers the cost of us handling postal votes. It covers the cost of obviously, that those 100,000 staff. It's a very big job. We like to call it Australia's biggest peacetime logistical exercise, and it gets bigger every time we run one.
Right. Alex, if I renew my registration on my car, I go online, I do it online. If I want to book tickets to the movies, I go online. There's all these things that I do online. I'm wondering how long it will be and if we can see it happening soon that we can do something like this online. Same with voting for an election, because surely that is going to cost a lot less.
Well, the biggest thing I can say is that you do actually enroll to vote online now. So when you're updating your driver's license, when you're taking care of your Medicare card, at the same time, you can actually enroll to vote just by visiting aec.gov.au. And it's really important if you are doing something like moving house or getting married, changing your name, to actually just take the 5 minutes, pop onto the electoral roll and make sure that your details are up to date, because you don't want to miss out when a referendum does roll around. I know it's something that can catch people by surprise. So it's important to have in the back of your mind, like when you have one of those change of circumstances, just pop online and update the electoral roll online. Many, many Australians prefer doing it online now when we're talking about enrolling. If we're talking about the act of voting itself, that's a little bit more complicated. We have seen a lot of conspiracy theories in Australia that are basically imported from America about any form of digital voting. We don't vote digitally in Australia. And the reason for that is largely security. So you've got a physical ballot paper, a paper printed ballot paper that you fill out with a pencil or a pen. It is hand-delivered by the AEC, so we will make sure that it goes back to a counting centre. It's first given a preliminary count at a voting place. And then it is hand-counted. For a referendum, it's hand-counted at every stage of the process, and it's counted twice to make sure that the first count was accurate. And that's security and verifiability at every stage of the count.
Well, Alex, once it's announced, we will get you on back on to have more of a chat. Alex Morris, spokesman for the AEC. Thanks for joining us this morning, Alex.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks.
Pleasure, Jen. Have a lovely day.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Subscribe now and you'll never miss an episode.